Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show, folks. This is Tony coming to you from New Zealand after having been in Pennsylvania for the last few months. This is my first, basically, interview I'm recording someone back in New Zealand. And the first person I'm interviewing is Keith Malcolmson, who is in Ireland. Welcome, Keith.
Hi, Tony. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, and I'm sure this will be a fascinating discussion because I watched some discussions that you have on the Great Reset, which of course I've been covering as well, and I'm sure this will bring out some fascinating more information.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just the timing of this on the reset is just major at the minute. And just even one of her videos, I think it's got up near 200,000. I think just the timing of it, people are really locking onto this and waking up to what's happening in the world.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting and really good. I noticed it. I mean, YouTube has been taking down some of my videos. I had one about it and they took down recently in another video with about 43,000 views they took down. It's pretty frustrating. But anyway, we're getting the word out there one way or another, and hopefully a lot of people are hearing what's going on. So maybe first off, you can just tell the listeners a little bit about you.
Well, I'm Keith Malcolmson, Northern Irish by birth. I've lived in several countries. But at the minute, I pastor a church in Limerick City. Started it 7 years ago. We just built it out of new converts getting saved out of crime and drugs and the New Age and Catholicism, and just really meeting with Christ, life-changing conversions. So we built the church from the ground up, also run a Bible school every year where we just gather students from around the world, and we run that in different nations. But more than anything, I'm just someone who met Christ as a child, loved Jesus with all of my heart, and utterly fascinated by Bible prophecy. Within the Bible, it's one of the great marks of the Bible for me that people can argue over it, but there is nothing that predicts the future like the Bible. And especially in this era, as we talk about the Great Reset, for me, it's remarkable because I see the beginning of a major stage in the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. So when I see these things, I always think about what is happening scripturally. Prophecies given 2,600 years ago or 2,000 years ago, and we're just about to see them dramatically be fulfilled. So really, that's a vital part of who I am.
That's, yeah, really good. Sounds really interesting. Because I'm pretty much following the Great Reset and everything that's going on, and the whole coronavirus pandemic or whatever you want to call it, and thinking, man, this fits in with it as well. So I guess I just thought I'd ask you straight off, what's it actually like in Ireland? I see now this morning on the news, I've noticed that in Britain and in England anyway, the first two people have received the new coronavirus vaccine, both old people, but of course they'll really hype this up. You know, to get everyone on board with that.
Yeah, Tony, I think what's remarkable in this era is how similar it is right across the world in every culture. That's what's so scary about this, is the same words, the same pattern, strategy, everything is happening in the nation. So one of the top professors in Ireland just a week ago in an interview with him had actually confessed and admitted that with the new vaccination, that literally those taking it initially will be a vital stage of testing the vaccine. Now, that should be very worrying for anyone, that it's almost like treating people as guinea pigs. So whatever anyone thinks of the vaccine, it's very worrying that they rush it through. It's not taken 10 years. They're pushing it. They expect everyone to take it. That immediately sets off alarm bells. And Ireland's a very placid people. They're very rebellious against things they shouldn't be rebellious against. But there seems to be such a going with this. It's deeply disturbing, and more so than in Britain or America or other places.
Yeah, that is really interesting, because you would think the Irish would be one of the last people I would have thought that would accept it. But and of course, I can't think of the guy's name, but in the WHO, there's an Irishman there that was one of the first people to come out and say they should take people out of their homes that have coronavirus, and and things, and it was like, whoa, that was pretty scary, just his language, you know.
Yeah, I think people are scared to speak out about anything. And certainly in Ireland, we've got all the same restrictions as many other nations. And so for me, there are people who think outside the box, who stand outside it. But it's very disturbing, whether in the church or social society, how many go without asking any questions. That's very, very disturbing. And it's almost like you're not allowed to question things at the minute. But for me, certainly July, at the end of July, beginning of August, we taught our church here. I actually started talking to the church privately as a church about the Great Reset and where I seen it fitting into things. And that was at a time where I was reluctant to talk about even the Great Reset because almost no one was. And you don't like to stick your neck out on things. But I went, for our church, we've got to know exactly what's happening in this hour, what's going on and what is coming. And I warned our church then they could tell you. And we've seen it even within months, how public this has become.
Yes, it is really interesting because, and I look at, there was that event 201 that was in, I think, October or could have been November, one or the other, last year. And that, the main sponsors of that were A, the World Economic Forum, which is Klaus Schwab, and second one was the Johns Hopkins, and then the third one was the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And those three players are the main players that you see driving, apart from the WHO, in the whole thing with the pandemic and then the Great Reset, which is, of course, Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum. And as I say, they were one of the ones that practiced a simulation for something like this just months, couple of months maximum before this started, which I think is highly suspicious. And I don't believe for a minute that this COVID-19 is an accident that just happened. I think this is all in the planning. So, yeah, now Klaus Schwab, what can you tell us about him? Because he's a really dodgy sort of character, I think.
Yeah, very, very interesting character. You know, just what you're saying there, I think the amazing thing of this hour, everything is converging. All the loose ends, all of the things that have been going on and people have been worried about, all these individuals, organizations, are all literally converging into something that looks almost unified. And in fact, in the writings, they say this. So with Professor Klaus Schwab, I mean, in his books, I was just even reading today his various books. Do you know, as I read today his own writings, really, to be quite honest, he it's more concerning what he writes very clearly than even what I brought out in previous videos. So news items can call this a conspiracy theory. To be quite honest, his own writings are more explicit in even considering the nation state a danger. Now, when you get a man like that considering the nation state and the sovereignty of a nation dangerous, I get very concerned about a man like that. So it was actually in 1971 he started the World Economic Forum and has ran it year by year, holding the Davos gathering or convention in Switzerland each year. And they gather for about 5 days with 3,000 people gathering. And among them, even on their own website, they claim that the 1,000 leading companies in the world actually are a part of their organization or attend Davos each year. So when you're looking at an organization like this, Bill Gates, all of the prime movers, big companies, Google, all of the rest, they're all there. IMF is there, UN is there. So in all that we're seeing throughout this year, all of these organizations are working together. And all the top politicians, all the top governmental organizations, all these things that have promoted globalization or world government, they're all converging. And I think that's what's astounding this year. From the beginning of this year, March time, February time, we've seen them all speak as one, come out and cooperate as one in a way that we've never seen before. And I think that's what catches my attention, is this is no normal year we've lived through. And Klaus Schwab is, of course, from Germany. He was born just before the Second World War, grew up in Nazi Germany. And not at all that he would support that system. But when you begin reading his books and writings and the things he says time after time after time, you really go, there is an agenda that, there that is very big. And when he speaks, it gets the attention of all these prominent people. So that makes me stop and take note of what he is saying. And even some months ago, I started to take note what he was saying about this. There'd be a second phase of the COVID, and that at least until the end of the first quarter of 2021, we would not be getting back to normal. Now, I believe those men know what they're saying, and he expects a few more spikes next year, maybe several. Maybe we get back into normalcy, though not normalcy in 2022. So you've got the biggest organizations in our world converging at the minute and saying the same thing, working towards the same end. So for me, I see it really building towards something major, and major things are going to happen in the next year or two.
It's interesting because the World Economic Forum had very quickly a website which you can sign into. You can see a certain amount of it if you're not logged into it, but if you log in, you can see multi-layers deep, and it's laid out like almost a corona virus layout, and this round circle, and then you can go to click on this, 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 and this. But they had that up so quickly. It was like that seemed to be planned too, to have it so well thought out so quickly. And then, of course, with bringing out the Great Reset, and I covered this in the video quite a while ago, first off, Google deleted it, but then I reposted a slightly edited version of it. And you can see that they had, talking about the Great Reset, Klaus Schwab and other people, including Prince Charles and the IMF, Christina Georgieva, or whatever her name is, I think that's it. Something like that. And, you know, all of these people, so they've got the World Bank, they have everyone on board right from the word go, and people call it a conspiracy theory, and yet you hear these leaders, the United Nations and so on, all speaking of it very plainly, right there, talking about the Great Reset several months ago. And it's like, you can't call it a conspiracy theory when these people, the biggest movers and shakers, are actually the ones that are pushing it. And Prince Charles, yes, is certainly, you know, another person to watch, I think, in many ways. But he's big time pushing it too. So, and then you have even Pope Francis not talking about the Great Reset in those words, but basically pushing the same barrel as they are. So you're right. They're all seeming to be in unison, which has never been done before.
Yeah, and I think when we began here in June time, and I mean, I don't think any of us caught it initially when they'd done it necessarily. Do you know, suddenly you hear about the Great Reset. It's done quietly by the most prominent people. It didn't appear, I didn't see it in any major news item. And it's only afterwards you start going, hold on, what is this? And as you start looking at it, really, and from the UN, Prince Charles, as you said, and the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset, they released it at the beginning of June. They started it. They initiated it. But what are they initiating? You've got to go, you begin to search into this, and you see there is the fourth industrial revolution, which again, no average person even heard tell of it, unless you were in these circles, unless you were a businessman or attending certain conventions. And just by the way here, let me say, I mean, I quite shortly after I started releasing the videos, I had an economist from London who worked with many prominent organizations. And he actually contacted me and he said, I have sat in all the meetings with the men that you're mentioning in your videos in relation to the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution. He said, I've heard them, I've listened to them. Everything you're saying is spot on. Just a week ago, I got another email from a pastor forwarding a message from a politician who was an advisor to Margaret Thatcher, but also to President Trump. And again, just said, this is just spot on. Do you know, so when you hear that, that people who are on the inside of this can confirm what we're saying, and we're not making this up, we're reading their books, we're reading from off their websites. But the Fourth Industrial Revolution was both a Davos convention, it was in 2016, as well as the book by Schwab. He released his book, The Fourth Industrial Revolution, in 2016, January of that year. I mean, if you even look down through the chapter headings in his book, it is enough to concern you. One of them says something like putting technology in your body. Now, this is 2016, and you've got a man in charge of the World Economic Forum, and a major part of this new revolution that's coming, and I know you've dealt with it on other videos, is literally the convergence of technology, computers, with our biological, our physical body. Now, for any Christian and anyone who knows Bible prophecy, you immediately know where this is heading. This is not us predicting something that's going to happen. It's not even us saying what the Bible says. It is literally them putting this into operation. We know where it goes. We know what is going to happen with this. But this is major politicians, major companies, all the phone companies, Google, all of them are on board with this, from Facebook all the way through. Do you know that in, actually, it was 2016 that Facebook, Google, all of these companies actually signed a document saying they would work together on AI. So you keep seeing constantly these guys are converging to work to put this into operation. What is the Fourth Industrial Revolution? They want to change every single area of society, educationally, religiously, politically. I mean, every area of society. They already have this plan, and they put it in print in 2016. He released another book in 2018 on how to implement this and further material on it. So this summertime in June, when they release this, the Great Reset, what are they talking about? They're talking about pressing the button, beginning the process of really introducing the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And what it is we'll lose our privacy. They're going to join the economy with politics, with everything else. I don't know whether you found this, Tony, but I certainly found it. It's annoyed me the past year, is everything, whether it's your email accounts, to your phone, to your Amazon account, whatever it is, I can't get free of it. It's very noticeable the past year. They're trying to converge everything, so one can't operate without the other. Yep. You've got to identify it with your mobile phone. They don't want all of these things isolated where they don't know who has what. And they have good arguments for that, I'm sure, and some not so good arguments. But literally, we're entering into a new phase of world history. We've never been here before. It's a remarkable hour. And I believe the Bible shows us the next steps where this is going to lead.
Well, Klaus Schwab, for a start, is a transhumanist, which you just alluded to. Yeah. It's really obvious from the little bits of his writings and things that I've heard, and I've covered it a bit again in videos. And you mentioned Google. Well, Ray Kurzweil, who is a head engineer at Google, is also a renowned transhumanist, and I've covered him in before. So you can see this. Well, I know Kurzweil is looking for singularity at some point, so they're wanting to have technology advance so much and to merge people with the technology, as you say, which is, boy, it looks something straight out of Revelation chapter 13, really.
Yes. It really does. And I think for those who know the scripture, I mean, you know, it's only 15 years ago. If you stop someone on the high street, and I was always out in the streets witnessing, talking to sinners, you know, wherever, encountering hundreds of sinners. If you start talking about Bible prophecy, they would say, I mean, even 10 years ago, never. It will never happen. I tell you what, if you start talking about these things, they either listen to you very carefully or they say, well, sure, we know that's what's happening. That's dramatic for 10, 15 years, where the whole idea would have been crazy, what is contained in our Bible. Now it's the next logical step. Now, that's a big jump in 15 years. My great-grandmother, she loved the Lord Jesus and loved the Word of God. She said to my mother, when my mother was just a young girl, she said, now, dear, can you tell me, says in the book of Revelation, it says that I can be sitting here in my house in Ireland and I will see things as they happen in the streets of Jerusalem. Can you tell me how that could ever happen? And of course, my great-grandmother, she believed it, but could not comprehend how that could ever happen.
Yeah.
Not now to us. I mean, from the Gulf War, I was actually in the Gulf War, the first Gulf War. And that's when GPS was introduced, before it was in secular society. We were using it there. It's all through then that time period you begin to see live broadcasts, all the rest. Things are moving dramatically. These men who are talking about the fourth industrial revolution, the Great Reset, they know what they're talking about. And do you know why? It's because they're planning it and they're going to put it into operation. There's men in this world who can predict where this is going to go because they've already planned it. They know years in advance. There's no doubt about that.
Yep. And the other thing that you tie in with it, I think, is the zero carbon and the fact that they managed to successfully, with the COVID pandemic, basically shut down air transport and a lot of things like that. And they're not going to relinquish that and let it go back to as it was, because this whole sustainable development agenda 2030 goals fit in perfectly with it all as well.
Yeah. I think every point of the fourth industrial revolution, everything built within it, whether it's education, the economy, our climate change, all of that is built into it. It's almost like the only way you could implement it all is if you shut down the entire world like we have this year.
Yes.
I mean, it would take you at least 50 years to even begin doing this. But if we go through a year like this where all the schools are shut, then you can start changing the education system. If you shut everyone into their house, you can then get everyone working from home. Sure, that's part of this they were talking about 4 years ago, to have people working from home. And then all of a sudden you walk through this and you're watching it happen. And then you begin to realize, hold on, they had all of this sitting in the eaves ready to come in. It's not that they're spontaneously doing this. This is highly organized, thoroughly written about for years, talked about. I mean, you were just talking there about even the event 201 a year ago in October. Now, I mean, I listened through all of their programs. I think there was about several actually in it, and I took the time at the beginning of this year. I listened through every single one of them, and that gave me a bit of advance warning to know what was going to happen throughout the rest of this year, because they're telling us in there, they're organizing, they're planning. This is highly organized, and they're all working together. It's remarkable, and there's a loss of liberty, and there's no doubt. And I mean, even with Klaus Schwab, I mean, saying about the convergence, this great reset, the fourth industrial revolution is going to bring forth a convergence of capitalism with socialism. They are going to change the capitalist system that we have had in place, that communists, Marxists, and socialists have always hated. That's what, and it's not perfect. Capitalism, I wouldn't try to defend it. There's a lot of bad in it. But to have a freedom and liberty with capitalism, you don't have governmental intervention in small business. As soon as you move to socialism, and at the minute, Klaus Schwab, the Economic Forum, the Great Reset, what they're saying, what they're trying to sell to us is saying, We're thinking of everybody. Everybody's involved in this. We're thinking of everyone, the good of everyone. That isn't true. As soon as they bring in legislation, they're going to tighten up that even business owners will not have freedom anymore. This is going to move to government. And as soon as the government has power, then the World Economic will, the UN will, all of these institutions. So it's deeply disturbing.
And it doesn't really matter whether you call something Nazism or communism or whatever it is. You've got the socialist idea with a few elite oligarchs at the top controlling it all. And really, that's what I see happening. You have these psychopaths, sociopaths. Basically, that's how they rise to the top, I think. Narcissistic type people with that kind of drive are always going to want to hold the controlling power at the top. So that's what I can see happening. It doesn't really matter what you call it. You're going to have these people at the top and basically everyone else controlled underneath, or the ones that they decide they deem are allowed to live, because I think culling of the population is also a big part of what they've got in mind.
Yeah, for several years, Tony, like I've talked with my wife Candace, you know, we've talked through things in private that I wouldn't have even said publicly in sermons or anything, because sometimes, you know, you believe things, you see things, you discern things, you just maybe don't want to put things out there until it's really visible, or else people think you're lying or making this stuff up. But then when it all happens, then, you know, it's very obvious. But for several years, I've talked through with my wife, like standard income, like putting everybody on a standard wage, no matter whether they work or not. The redistribution of wealth, all of these ideologies. Now, I mean, for several years, I've been talking about this, that how are they going to do this? Those were terms you never heard out in the public. Mm. Never, ever. I wrote about it in a book I released 4 years ago, saying that from the French Revolution through, these were the ideas of the redistribution of wealth. Again, the Pope Francis constantly talking about the redistribution of wealth, as well as some of these false charismatic prophets in America talking about the redistribution of wealth. When you get people speaking with the same language, you have to ask questions. And you begin to ask, what do they mean by this? And there's been so many things that I've seen in the background, the welfare state. I mean, no one will tell you they're promoting this, the welfare state, benefits for everyone, free money to everyone. In our city in Ireland, there's a welfare. Ireland's a welfare state. It's destroyed a young generation. In our city, and it's a small city, there's 1,000 heroin addicts out there. How do they fuel their habit? They're just getting money from the government. There aren't checks and balances. And an entire young generation don't want to work. I mean, I know there's many who do. But that welfare system, nobody at the minute is warning about the grave dangers to a new generation. I mean, to work hard is a thing they're not talking about. So they're promoting all of this, saying we're thinking of the poor. We want everyone to have the same benefits. We want to care for everyone. But really, it's what's hidden in that. And what scares me, Tony, is I don't think people will see through it. Not the average person. They listen to the news at night and they're told this, and they're told we're thinking of you and we're worried about your finance. Since when did big government and big business ever worry about you and me?
True. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I'd never heard the term universal basic income until, well, within this last year or so. And yet that's something that you start to hear that term being bandied around.
All the time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But that happens because that's obviously where they're wanting it to go. But I see there's going to have to be a collapse of the current system to bring in the new system. So I just, you know, we almost witnessed what looked like it was going to collapse earlier in the year, and then they've sort of propped it up with masses of money printing and so on. But I see there's going to come a reckoning day soon where they'll collapse the whole thing deliberately. Yep. I mean, they keep it going as long as they want, till they collapse it. because they have to destroy the system to move us into the next one.
Yeah, and I mean, world economists, people who have really kept their eye on the world economy and experts in the field have said since 2008 that basically the world economy is on a life support machine. They've said it was at that point. I mean, you've got trillions being pumped in, trillions. And you know, the parallel is, imagine some young couple starting out into marriage who don't have a penny. So you lend them $1 million. And then to help them get out of debt, you give them another million and another million and another million. Now, no sane person is going to do that. You're going to destroy that young couple.
Yeah.
And their children and their children's children. But this is far worse. We literally, in 2008, they all knew this is a major crisis. So now this year, the IMF, the World Economic Forum, all of them are actually saying in their books, on their messages, they are saying that we are facing the mother of all economic financial crisis. They're the ones. Now, they've held this off since 2008. This has been coming then. Everyone is going to blame this crisis. They're going to blame COVID.
Yeah.
Now, we won't look at world bankers
yeah.
who destroyed the economy. Yeah. We're not going to look at the IMF. We'll blame COVID.
Yeah.
And I believe they're using this as a cover. Yep. So next year, and here it could, Tony, it could. I'm not trying to predict or anything, but I'd be surprised if it doesn't happen in the next year and a half. And I don't like making predictions like that because I'm not prophesying. But it really won't surprise me if in the next year and a half we really totally, and we've talked about, I'm sure you have for many years, but from a child I've heard about the whole thing going digital onto moving away from money in your hand. And even Barry Smith in New Zealand, I loved his videos in the late 80s and early 90s speaking on the yeah. cashless society. So, do you know, believers have known this is coming for a long time, but we're actually there. And their planning to introduce is to digitalize the entire economy. And that's a big, big step, because when you change the economy, you change politics. You can't separate the economy from politics within a nation or how we govern ourselves. So in order to change the governmental system of the world or take us into a one world government, or let me just give you the step before that, it's regionalization. Do you know Klaus Schwab and all, they're actually talking about this. The next step isn't to a world government. And they talk about this regionalization, where they split the world into regions. And it was actually a very good brother, Gary Kah from America, who many years ago in Scotland, he showed me a booklet from the UN with a map of the entire world split into 10 regions. And of course, the Club of Rome before that introduced that. So I believe that what we're beginning to see now, it's going to go on to a regionalized world. And that's going to be the step before going into an absolute world government. They're taking us step by step.
I agree. And, you know, I think digitalizing everything, I think basically what they'll end up doing probably will be to give everything a value, like a numeric value. Because you can have a universal basic income and all those things, but these super elite are not going to put themselves down on the same level playing field as the homeless person on the street or the average worker. So they're going to have to dole out some sort of a system where they still retain the wealth. And so personally, I suspect that everything eventually will be given a value, including people. I think that's partly why probably central banks and these super rich have been accumulating gold and so forth as well, because they'll then value that with a high value to convert it into the digital system so that the same people will try and hold on to the power.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a very interesting thing, you know, economists who see what they're trying to do with all of this change and are trying to sidestep it, Of course, a lot of experts who see through what's going on and they're trying to find the safe way through, they'll look to gold, they'll look to silver, or to a lesser degree, maybe land or property. And this is something I thought about for many years, and I can really see it coming to pass at this present time, where in the book of James chapter 5, it actually talks about this scenario about the rich storing up their gold and their silver for the last days. I mean, it literally says that they'll heap up their treasures for the last days. And Tony, and I'm not speaking dogmatically here, but I just wonder, the only people at the minute who think they're going to be economically or financially free are those looking to gold, silver, or property. I've been thinking deeply about this for the past several months, is this where James chapter 5 comes in? Is that actually gold? In fact, I've just got the scripture here, James 5:3. It says, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. And it just says before that, that they've been storing all of this up. And you know, I wonder, I don't know if it'll happen now or at a later stage, but are they, with this digital system, and I know many are predicting that they'll have to tie it back into gold, but what if they don't?
Yes, I think they'll tie everything into the system, like everything will be given a value personally.
Yeah.
I've thought about that scripture too quite a bit and thought that the odd thing about it is that gold can't rust and doesn't canker. It's like, so it's almost like there's got to be another meaning in there too, and thinking, well, why would James, because James would have known that, because gold and silver were the only basic currency of the day, and copper coins, of course, but gold and silver, he would have known that gold doesn't tarnish or rust or whatever. So what was he actually getting at? And then I was thinking, well, these rich people are storing it, and I was wondering, and this is just me thinking out loud, yeah. I don't know that I'm correct, but the fact that the gold, anything, like if it's handled and being used all the time, it's not going to tarnish. Like if you had silver coins and you're constantly there in circulation, they're not going to tarnish. But the minute you just leave it sitting there in the air or stored away, that's when it's more likely to tarnish. And the very thing is, you've stored up this stuff. It's like they've hoarded it for themselves. So it's not in circulation. And I'm wondering whether that ties into it somehow. I'm not really sure, but I've just sort of thought it's odd that he used, because gold doesn't rust.
I think we're going to see it. I mean, to me, from that scripture, it seems to be saying it's not going to get used, And I just wonder. I'm not speaking dogmatically on that, but I just really, really do wonder. What's interesting about James 5 as well is it ties into the former and the latter rain being outpoured in the last days. And one interesting thing is at the end of Ezekiel's war, and this is something no one ever talks about, and I really do believe that we're very close to Ezekiel's war happening, where there's a convergence of Russia and Turkey and Iran again. And all of this is coming together at a very remarkable hour. But at the end of Ezekiel's war, it talks about the Lord pouring out his spirit upon Jerusalem again. And nobody mentions that in this hour. Personally, I believe at the end of Ezekiel's war, there is going to be a remarkable outpouring of the Holy Spirit. While all of this is building, I mean, Tony, we're heading for an hour where the Lord is going to pour out his judgment on the world. And our God is a merciful God, a gracious God. Almost 8 billion people we're heading towards now, and so many who don't know Christ. And yet our Bible predicts and shows what is going to happen in this hour remarkably. I personally believe we're in the edge of the Lord extending his hand of mercy to this generation one last time before an awful lot of things actually fall in this generation. And God has often sent revival just before civil wars or major wars in many different nations down over the generations. And So just with James 5, like even with that outpouring of the Spirit. So I'm just saying, you know, like all these men, they're converging their plans. I'm looking at Bible prophecy and I'm seeing this convergence of so many things. And even with the book of Romans chapter 11 about Israel being grafted back in, if that Ezekiel's prophecy, if that revival is going to come at the end of Ezekiel's war, again, it's predicted in Zechariah 13. And again, if Romans 11 ties into that, we could be on the edge of one of the most sinister hours, but a short window of opportunity where the Lord is going to send this gospel to every community just one last time.
The only other thing, though, is there's also a talk of a great falling away or a great apostasy.
Yes.
So yeah. Maybe there's going to be a real separation of the true church
yes.
from the apostate church.
I think it's two harvests, the two things happen together. And I preach very strongly against the apostasy, false prophets, the compromise, the, you know, the prosperity gospel. I've made a stand against these things through the years and false teaching in the church. So I really think you get both happening. And God has always worked through a pure remnant. Do you know, when everyone else apostatizes, God always has a people who love him, who love his truth, and who stand looking for his coming again. And it is a purifying hope. So, do you know, it's a very dark hour. And I think talking about these things like the Great Reset and all, people can get fearful. And I think it's so important that we do point that Christ is the answer. And it is an hour to get born again and really walk with the Lord Jesus. And these can be some of the most exciting days for the real church. Very fearful for our world, but we've got to have an answer for this hour.
True. Yes. So now, can you give our listeners where they can find you online?
Yes, you can just Google, unless Google's removed me after this interview. Anyone can Google me, Keith Malcolmson. Also, our local church is Limerick City Church. We've got hundreds of messages on there on Bible prophecy and how to walk with Christ, how to be born again, just and testimonies of people who have got saved out of drugs and crime and the New Age. We've got all of that. So if you search Limerick City Church, you'll find all those messages and wonderful testimonies of life's changed. I've got several different websites up. We also have a Bible school called School of Christ International here in Ireland that we run every year, run Bible schools with. And several books on Amazon. If Amazon hasn't taken me off after this as well, messages on Christian foundations, sober saints, a book called The Scarlet Woman, which deals with, you know, a lot of this stuff about Bible prophecy and end days.
Great. Sounds good. So have you got any last thoughts as we close up that you'd like to finish with telling our audience?
I would really encourage people to go back to Scripture. If someone's listening and they're very skeptical about the Bible, I don't know anything that comes close to predicting what's happened in our world like the Bible, the Word of God. And it's infallible. It's perfect. You can rely on it. You can stake your life on it. So I'd really exhort people to go back and read the Bible and to cry out to God, to say, if these things are true, please change my life. And there is forgiveness. I believe he forgives the drug addict. He can change anyone, change their life. And that's the most fundamental thing to my life. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray everyone listening really has a deep love for Jesus Christ. And if the backslidden or get led astray, now is the time to get right with God and on fire for him and start reaching souls around them.
That's a great word. I want to say thank you heaps for being on the show today, Keith, and I'd definitely love to get you back again soon.
Well, thank you, Tony, and just you've got a wonderful, you know, wonderful messages up. You're doing a great work there, so keep at it.
Thanks, Keith. Folks, remember you can find A Minute to Midnight's shows on audio and video format. We do the audio on iTunes and also on A Minute to Midnight's website, aminutetomidnight.com, as well as on YouTube. And we have the video separately from YouTube on our website, aminutetomidnight.com too. And I'll be looking at other platforms to put them on in the next little while as well. But make sure you follow our website, aminutetomidnight.com. And if you want, you can donate to A Minute to Midnight on the website as well. This is run 100% by donations, and the only way we can keep it running is through your help, and I'll greatly appreciate it. So thanks for the folks that do help us that way. The music used in the shows I've written, played and recorded, and you can download quite a bit of free music that I've done on the A Minute to Midnight website as well. So remember that, aminutetomidnight.com, with a midnight spelled M-I-D-N-I-T-E. So that's it for this episode. God bless, folks. Stay safe, and God willing, we'll be back with another episode in a few days' time.